Well, hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
So, Dana, what are you filling up on this Tuesday morning that we're recording?
You know what? Some mint tea.
Mint tea.
Yeah, I like that Teavana. I think it's called Jade.
Okay.
Like Jade mint tea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, is this antique tea or does Teavana still exist? Do they still exist?
Okay, so I don't think the storefront exists anymore, but you can still buy the products. Like I buy this one at like Walmart.
Oh, okay. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm just saying, I remember many years ago. When I had a friend that lived in Glendale, we would occasionally go to the Glendale Galleria where there was a Teavana store.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And she was much more into tea. So occasionally we'd still buy tea, but she would like help me figure out what to put in the mix.
Okay.
You know, the oolong this and the this and the that and all that.
Yep.
She was much more traditional as far as teas. I was like, no, I want mine to taste like raspberries.
Okay.
Well, but give me that, you know, white oolong, whatever stuff that, you know, adds a, you know, the mystical powers or whatever to it all.
Wow, mystical powers. We just went to the next level here.
Well, yeah, because, okay, you know, I mean, it's all about, you know, what this tea brings to it, you know.
Right.
It clears your pipes or, I don't know.
It adds mental, your third eye. There you
opens
go.
Your third eye.
So you can see into mental beyond acuity. Being invisible.
Yeah. All that stuff. And so, you know, it's a little, that's why I didn't know if they, I haven't been, first of all, I have not been to the Glendale Galleria, but once during all of this, maybe none. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've been there at all.
Okay.
I think the last time would have been, maybe when I bought my iPad, which would have been a year and a half ago. So it was pre-pandemic, that much I can say.
All right.
So I had no idea if they survived. And so you can still at least get the tea.
No, I don't think any of them. And I think this is actually before the pandemic hit.
Oh, okay.
But again, apologies if that's not correct. But the ones, or at least the one I used to go to is not there anymore.
So. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know.
So you and have. It's interesting. You, yeah. Go ahead.
No, you.
I was going to say it's interesting you mentioned Glendale Galleria because I've actually ventured out there
over
the weekend. Right. Uh-huh.
How is it?
Packed.
Okay.
you wouldn't think we were in a pandemic, you know, but everybody, you know, everybody had their mask on and everything, but there's no way you could practice social distancing out there. So a friend and I, we, you know, made plans to hang out. Mm-hmm. And actually this was the first time I have been out in over a year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. To any place. Right. Uh-huh. So, of course, you know, we want to pick the most, you know, insanely packed area
in
the world to go.
Well, hold on. You're double vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
You're double shot up. So
I don't know other people's lifestyles.
Too bad. It's whatever they're going to get from you at that point. I'm sorry. Look, supposedly come, June 15, all this stuff goes away.
Yeah,
according to the governor. So at that point, you could run through the mall hugging and kissing people at that point. Yeah. Within, you know, fair, you know, make sure that they accept. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm just saying, you know, soon enough. But so it was a packed mall. That just really surprises me.
Not only just the mall, but everyone listening. So Glendale Galleria right across the street is another outdoor shopping area called the Americana.
Mm-hmm.
And those were all like the high end stores, like Louis Vuitton and Tesla, and
that's right,
Nordstrom. And
well, it's got also my two favorite stores. It's got a Ray-Ban store, so when I do buy sunglasses every 2 to 3 years, they get money out of me. And then the Barnes and Noble.
The Barnes and Noble, you got it.
You know,
and then the Apple Store.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Although I have to say, I've shopped and bought most of the things I've bought at the one in the Glendale Galleria. Yes, people, there's one in the Glendale Galleria and at the Americana. You know why the one at the Galleria is still there?
Why?
It was number one. It was first of all the, as far as I understand, it was like number one or number two maybe, but it was like the first Apple store.
Oh, okay.
So I have a feeling they just don't want to take it away.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
But yes, they're both there. But I've always done, the only time I didn't was when I bought one of the iPhones many years ago, a 4, a 5, a 6, I don't remember. And they didn't have them at the one store, so they literally called to the other store.
And
said, do you have this color with this number of, you know, gigabytes of RAM or whatever? They're like, yes, we do.
Oh,
okay,
awesome.
We're sending someone over.
Awesome.
So they that do work cool. together, at least. They're not in competition. That was good to know.
Yeah, that is really good to know. Yeah, so, no, it was a packed house, man, and we hung out for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like everything shut down early. It looked like everything was shutting down around 7:30, 8 o'clock. So...
This was a weekend?
Yeah, this was on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. Was the food court open?
I don't know. We most of our time was at Americana across the street.
Oh, okay. Because I believe I remember reading many months ago, so I don't know with the changing tides and winds here.
Right.
They were using parts of their parking lot for seating.
Oh,
for food, because there's a big parking structure next to the Glendale Gallery,
yeah,
everyone.
It's huge.
And that's like across a footbridge from the main part of the food court. So that's why I was wondering maybe if...
it makes sense.
That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then at the Americana, a lot of outdoor seating, a lot of outdoor dining going on. But you can dine indoors, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have, you know, specific safety protocols that they follow, but,
but
yeah, it was pretty cool. It was cool getting out. Like I said, it was packed.
Everybody else was thinking the same thing, Dana.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Oh, probably so. Absolutely.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
But it was nice. It was a nice time, and it was nice to finally venture out the house after over a year being, you know, quarantined.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing the same thing in a different way. I've been going to Dodger games down here.
Because you're a season pass holder.
I have a quarter season of tickets.
Okay.
And I don't know if I've talked about it. So what they did is, obviously, the season started at the start of April. The Dodgers didn't have a home game till about 7 to 8 days into April. But what they decided to do was they canceled everyone's season tickets for... Excuse me, for the first 2 months, April and May. And then what they did instead, they opened up where you could buy a 14-game package for April. And then they said if you didn't want that, there would be single games available. So they offered those up first to ticket holders, and then the next day they'd put it up to the general public. All while keeping it to about a third of capacity. So I bought some single games in April. I bought a couple games for May, and then supposedly come around mid-June when they're back home again, because I guess they have quite a road trip at the end of May and early June. Supposedly that's when my season tickets will kick in. So, Dana, if you want to go to a game at some point, we'll make that happen.
I don't know. Apparently, you know, there's a lot of, like, profanity and security and going on. What's that
about?
Are
you reading my notes? Yes. Yeah. You know, I don't know what it is. And look, I don't have young kids. You know, I don't have any kids as far as I know. But it just seems like some fans, and I don't know if it's always alcohol induced either. And I don't know if it's a particular type of fan, like young or old. I think it tends to be more males to do this. Just yelling out a lot of profanity. And again, not thinking about the fact that there could be kids. Now, the thing that was a little weird was, you know, the first time yesterday was the first time we saw a security guy address one of these fans. Because he was standing at the edge of the loge, and he was yelling at, this was late into the game, and he easily was late into about 3 to 4 beers, that much I'm pretty sure about. Because the person I went to was like, this guy's got a beer in his hand, and that's not his first. And the security came down, and he, you know, he was like, oh, I'm just trying to rouse him on and all, you know, but whatever. But, you know, he was using a little too much profanity himself. And I guess, again, people, when you go out to the park, I know you all want to have fun. And again, maybe it's some of the younger people. Well, then again, most people seem to be younger than me nowadays. You know, try to consider that there may be other people around you. I know you're caught up in the emotion, but do you really have to use all that profanity to tell your favorite picture to go or someone? Okay, someone sucks. Okay, we get it. That's so, you know, part of the sport. No, it isn't. Whatever. But really, yeah, so I'm a little concerned there. So it was good to know security was there. And then later, these guys who had brought their young kids, it looked like two fathers who had visitation rights or whatever that day, brought their young kids with their little mitts, but they were sitting behind me at some point. But they decided to move down to the front row. And I don't know what drew the ire of the security guard. I think what it is they've like used those plastic zip ties to zip off the seats that you're not supposed to sit in. Mm-hmm. I think one of these guys kind of kicked down the seat and broke the tie. And he was in a row he was not supposed to be in. And so the security guy's like telling me, you know, trying to tell him to move back to their seats.
I mean, that's the culture of the stadium, though.
Yeah, but this is pod seating world here at the stadium. Oh, so you only sit where you're supposed to. And the one guy's starting to get all huffy puffy and like, I pay good money and all. And do you see anyone else here? And I'm thinking, dude, if I'm the security guy, I don't want to hear any of this. But they finally moved back to the seat, and then they were still being, you know, noisy and rousy. And security guy came back down. At some point, I think they took him away. I guess remember the guy going, what are you going to do? Take me to Dodger jail? I mean, this is too funny. But really, you know, people, control your alcohol, for one. Second, if the security guy tells you to sit in the seats you paid for, sit in the seats you're paid for. But that's that. Yeah, so I've been out to the games. Okay. And it's another thing, it's been cold.
It's been like what now?
Cold.
Okay, yeah. The weather has been pretty chill. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think last night the scoreboard said 55 degrees, and I think it was lying to us. The only good thing is it has not been windy at all, which is good. But I did notice on the drive home there were some sprinkles. So the game ended just in time before a little bit of sprinkling came through this part of the L.A. basin. Did you get any rain last night?
No. Just it stayed extremely cloudy.
Okay.
And like dreary.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I definitely noticed the clouds, but we did have a pretty good full moon.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see the full moon with the cloud and the way the clouds look. You know, I was waiting for the werewolf to pop out.
You know, you're right, because you know I went with a coworker of ours, Mark Hobbs, counselor, and at one time he was like, "Oh, look, there's the moon over the stadium. You could see it over the right field side." And at some point, there was no moon, and we both looked up and go, "What happened to the moon? Were we seeing things?" And then later we saw the moon again, I guess. Oh, boy, there must be more cloud cover up there than we thought.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Because we were not drinking, as far as I know.
I don't know, man. You do like those micheladas.
You know, I kind of do, yes.
No, kind of? Every time we talk about it, your face lights up.
Look, it got me through the World Series. That's all I can say. The pre-mix kind in the can. Of course, a tall boy can.
That's for me. That's Dana drink right there.
Dana.
Yes.
I think what we're going to do here, Dana, seeing that we've covered everything but financial aid at this point, is let's throw a little music on and let's move into our financial aid topics of the day.
You got it.
All right.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
That's right. It seemed like about the right time to do a little refill of our drinks. So, Dana, I don't have it up on screen, but one of the things that I did. I'll have to scroll back here for a second on our show notes. We got our second email from a listener. So we had a person, Lorena, write in, and she wanted to see what other colleges are doing with their federal work study program. And so, Dana, you are a federal work study person, and you know quite a bit about the program. So I think what the question was, and this is something we will bring back to some future episodes with the people we've talked about, talked with during the holidays from the exec board and all. So what have we done this year when it comes to work study that might have been different than in prior years?
Okay. So this year we did. So let me back it up. So Lorena, so the way that we reach out to our students who are interested in federal work study is we have an actual federal work study interest list. And a communication from our district is sent to those students, and then they have a set amount of time, really 3 days, to sign up on the interest list. And depending on, you know, where they land on the list, I reach out to them by email or phone call and invite them to participate in a federal work study workshop. And in the workshop is where I give them information on the program, you know, all the set rules and regulations and how timesheets work and, you know, what positions are available on, on, well, not on campus, but, you know, offices that are looking for, you know, student workers, our federal work study students. So we did have offices that were interested in hiring federal work study students, even though we were, you know, we are all work at home. And so I actually send out a communication to all offices simultaneously while reviewing the interest list. And then, you know, different supervisors will reach out to me and let me know, yes, you know, yes or no, that I'm interested in hiring. So based off of that, the listing that we get back, you know, from managers or offices or supervisors that are interested in hiring, that helps me determine, okay, these are the number of positions that are available. And then, like I said, then I'll use the interest list to recruit and hire students.
How do we do this year as far as getting through the list? Did we get through the whole list almost?
Basically, yeah. Believe it or not, we had over, I want to say, oh man, almost 200 students on the list.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But what's so interesting is, and like I said, I did go through the list, but not a lot of feedback. So I don't know if maybe it's because of, you know, students' circumstances during the pandemic, because I did have a handful of students who I was able to hire through the program. But unfortunately, they had to resign from their positions because of whatever it was they were, you know, going through at home.
Understandable. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did run into some roadblocks, you know, as that is concerned.
And then also thinking on this topic about work study spending, I know one of the things that has come up in either sessions at the conference or similar to Lorena's question here, is many colleges I know transferred some, and some maybe transferred nearly all if they weren't hiring at all, of their work study dollars out to their FSEOG.
Yes.
Now, I know I've looked at some of the numbers you've given me. I think we're going to spend about, what, 75% maybe of our total?
Right, because
of dollars that we had for work study alone. On work
study. You got it. Yeah, because we had, like you said, we had the ability. You had the ability to transfer over on 100% of the funds to FSEOG if we wanted to. But because, you know, we did decide to continue on, you know, taking on federal work study students for the academic year. Some of the money went, you know, to pay their, you know.
Well, yeah, and because just like you, as you've been running the program for a while, my goal has always been, again, if we can have students working.
Right,
in some capacity, I'd rather do that than just to put it in FSEOG grant.
Right.
And again, nothing against FSEOG grants, but we get about equal amounts of both programs. And in general, because there tend to be tinier grants to more students, if I can, it's not a big difference maker. I mean, it's a little bit of one. But it's not, you know, we're not a 4-year private school that can use FSCOG in a very strategic way. So just so everyone knows, FSCOG is the Federal Supplemental Educational Opportunity Grant. And so unlike Pell Grant, where if I do a federal aid form, the FAFSA, and it tells me I have a zero family contribution, which means I get the maximum Pell Grant, I get that amount according to the government. FSCOG is supposed to be given to the school as a lump allocation with some basic rules. And the basic rules are that you have to give it first to your students with the highest need, which would be the students with the zero ability to have a family contribution. But the amount you give to the student can vary. You know, we've done $200 to $300 to $400 per semester. I think the federal limit is $4,000 per school year. So if you're a private school, you maybe you do larger grants. The other thing is the amount that you get allocated is supposedly based on a federal fair share formula, but it's not 100% share fair. Have we gone over this, Dana, how it's not so fair? In a sense, if you were a school that's been in the program for a long time, you're getting more than your fair share. So there are a lot of schools out on the, East Coast. Your Boston colleges, your Boston universities, and other 4-year private schools that get millions of dollars in these programs. Yep. And if you looked at fair share, who has a higher preponderance and percentage alone of students with Pell Grants, me or some of those private schools? It's me. It's us community colleges. So we get shorted all the time on federal work study and FSCOG dollars. But it is what it is. And the thing, you know, as much as people at the national conferences and other places say that we need to really do a truly fair share model, there's some hesitancy in some schools that get millions of dollars to give up their money.
Yeah.
Altruism, as they always say, altruism goes out the window when it affects you. I may have made that up, everyone, but I think you get the general idea.
Yes, we do. And then also, Dennis, I wanted to mention that because we had such a, we had a low number of, or have a low number of students participating in federal work study on our campus. I think we only have at this time 27 students. We were able to increase their budgets.
Yeah, we gave them a larger award than normal, you know, because again, we also, one, we have to account for the $15 something per hour.
$14.49
per hour that we pay students. And again, if they're doing 15 to 20 hours, it's easy to
exhaust the budget. And actually did have a few students that did exhaust their budget, but because we were able to increase the, they're going to make it maybe not until the end of the spring semester, but you know, they'll make it much longer than what they would have for the increase.
Yeah. I mean, when in the olden days, when we used to hold them to like a flat $4,000 allocation back when it was closer to $10 an hour, that still meant 400 hours of work from about September through the end of May. So about 200 per semester, but with a semester being 15 plus weeks, you couldn't get in 20 hours a week. And so we've, you know, we've tried to be, you have to toe that line of how many students. And this year, because there were less hired, I was more than willing to tell you that, go ahead, you know, let's increase the awards. Because I'd rather, again, spend it on the students already working than have to move it to FSCOG. Because, again, we have so much other money targeted in emergency grants and such. I didn't need to worry too much about that. Well, that helps. So, Lorena, we're going to expand that, just so you know, into some future episodes. Again, one of the things I knew I wanted to talk about today, but I don't know if we'll have a whole lot of time, was some of the notes that came out of the roundtables. Now, I keep saying this roundtables, just so everyone knows. Some of the people me and Dana have had on the show before, around the holidays, Tamara, Mike, David, all these names of mostly CSFA exec board members. We did some pre-holiday shows talking about how things had gone up to that point, what their plans were for the holidays. But these people, I grouped them up into two roundtables because I needed to have a couple sessions on current topics on things going on in financial aid that we pre-recorded for the CISFA conference back at the start of March. So my plan was, after the conference, was to regroup some of these participants and go over some of the things that came out of the chats, because we did use an online platform. And so we have the chat logs of who was typing in things, because obviously you can't talk to someone live if you pre-recorded the show. Right, Dana? Do I have that right?
Yeah, you have space, that right. You got it.
Space-time continuum.
Mm. All right, Doc.
Yeah, so today, you know, we don't have as much time. Let me just run down a little bit. You know, we somewhere in one of the roundtables must have talked about different products we were using to get through this pandemic. So I know chatbots and artificial intelligent chatbots were brought up by a number of campuses. Some had indicated, you know, the labor-intensive part of setting up. And I have to say, Dana, they're looking at it for our district. So we might just get one of these things. You know, basically, it's like what you get when you go to CERN websites, where you get the little thing in the bottom right corner that says, "Do you have any questions that I can answer for you? Please type into the chat box." You know, and some of those are automated. Some of those are a person. This would be a mostly automated thing, and some schools are using it, and they're finding that 24/7 availability is a big plus. The fact that it can answer a lot of questions for students around the clock is just a real big bonus on that. So I know there's a couple people out there, Kathy from Chabot and Kristen from the College of the Desert. I may ask them to join us on the show, because it sounds like they're very interested in it, and or they're using that kind of product on their campuses. From the second roundtable session, which was a different grouping of people, we had the question again about federal work study students having VPN access, because just like us, a little bit of a problem trying to get that kind of access sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, I understand some people think it's some kind of union issue or whatever, taking away jobs from people. Dana, do you really care if a student worker helps you?
Not
are they taking away work from you?
Oh, I have no problem with this at all.
Are you afraid of someone taking away work from you? No, I'm just saying.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
So we may bring that up. John from Crafton Hills had that, and he also talked about how he uses Ring Central, which I'd heard before. I think something like the Student Aid Commission, some other places as far as handling incoming and outgoing calls. Because, you know, I guess I mentioned I think our lovely assistant director, Marisol, mentioned at the last staff meeting all the talk that we had about having phones for staff.
Mm-hmm. It's out the door.
Turned into dust. Yeah. Because, again, all I've done is complain. I mean, I do other things during the daytime, and I take naps.
Oh, okay. You do.
But all I've done is complain since the start of this whole pandemic that we do not have a phone solution for working from afar.
Right.
You know, setting up, we use Google Voice.
I was going to say, we use Google Voice.
Which is a fine product if you do not care about phone calls and the quality of them. So on a personal level, they work fine. But as a solution for two, let alone 15 different phone numbers in my office, it's not a solution without you spending money. So Ring Central is one of those products, I guess, that's out there. So maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that going forward, especially if we stay in hybrid mode. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to still need phone solutions and equipment solutions and such. But Dana, you know where we are at? We're at that point where we need a little bit of music. We'll save some of these notes, and then we'll come back for our last sip. And just like that, we are back for our last part of the show, the last sip. So whatever, Dana, your mint tea, I believe.
My mint tea, yes.
That's right. Fancy stuff. You know, is it an English tea?
No, not at all.
I don't know about this stuff. Dana, we're at the part. And again, anything we didn't cover, we're going to cover in future shows that I had written down. Dana, any I Dare You To selections for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is for all my audiophiles out there. Definitely check out Questlove. So Questlove, he is one of the founding members and drummer for The Roots.
Mm-hmm.
Check out his podcast. It's called Questlove Supreme.
Uh-huh.
And you can listen to on you can listen to it on most platforms, Spotify, Pandora, Apple. You know, he's available. I think even iHeart.
Oh, wherever good good podcasts like our own can be found.
Yes. Uh-huh. So yeah, for sure, you guys check it out. It is awesome. So basically, he interviews, you know, different musicians or different individuals in the music industry, different actors and actresses, and even some political figures he also has on the show. But great show. Just a warning, there is a lot of profanity. So Dennis, you know, just be ready. I mean, it's musicians. What can you say?
Exactly. What can you say? Look, as long as it isn't a... He's not advertising it as a kid-friendly podcast.
Do whatever you want.
I am not judging people in their general sense. I'm just saying, if there's kids nearby,
right?
Could you hold it down?
Those games are family-oriented. Yes, I know.
So Questlove Supreme Questlove podcast. Supreme. I like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, on another musician front, again, one of the ones that I listen to, Ben Folds. Of Ben Folds 5, which if you've ever seen Ben Folds 5 play, is not five guys at all. So I don't know where it comes from. But Ben Folds, who's been traveling and mostly stuck in Australia, I think, this whole pandemic, and doing what he calls his apartment shows, you know, like live streams and all, he's now got a podcast too, where he interviews musicians and similar likes. His is called Lightning Bugs. I think it's from one of his songs or whatever, but... Yeah, so Ben Folds is my throw out there, but I think the Questlove thing certainly sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm, it
you know,
is.
I've seen him. I've gotten used to him when I did used to tune into late night television on the Jimmy Fallon show.
With Jimmy Fallon,
and he's pretty funny.
Yeah,
you know, and the band in general is really really good. But
they're amazing. Yeah, they're
he's best. Obviously got his stuff down.
Oh,
no
yeah.
doubt. Uh-huh. No doubt. So yes, there's our wonderful picks for everybody today. And Dana, who could have guessed? We're way past in overtime, so that's all we have.
Today.
That's all we're going to have time for today. But don't worry, everyone. There's an episode later this week and so many more to come. So I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISO, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisva@gmail.com.
Find this and all What's Brewing CISPA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISPA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 85, recorded the morning of Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. Have a great day.
And everyone, have a great week.